This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
You're listening to Reset. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Today, we're bringing you a special election show in partnership with WBEZ's Prison Cast.
We're going to go to C-Pod.
The show is all about civic engagement from behind bars.
Does anybody want to register to vote?
Vote Trump.
We're starting inside Cook County Jail on Chicago's southwest side. There are many people in jail who aren't serving a sentence. They're still awaiting trial, so they still have the right to vote. It means that every election, parts of Cook County Jail transform into polling places where incarcerated voters cast their ballots. But first, they need to register.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeremiah. I'm with Chicago Votes. We're here registering people to vote. So if you've never voted before, or if you've never registered, this would be the time to do it.
Are you registered to vote?
I'm going to say when did you register?
One prospective voter we visited recently, Anthony Wilson, sees this election as a way to exercise a right in an environment where so many other rights are restricted.
It's a double-edged sword, you know, being incarcerated, but also having the freedom to vote.
Another voter, Adrian Pride, is hopeful that casting a ballot is an opportunity to make change.
Our word matters, you know, just like everybody else. Just because we're incarcerated doesn't mean we ain't equal. We ain't citizens of the United States, you know. I was born here. You know, just made a mistake, that's all.
In the next couple of conversations on this podcast, we'll give an overview of where the presidential candidates stand on criminal justice issues. And we'll hear about the push to restore the right to vote for people serving time in prisons. You can find those conversations in your podcast feed tomorrow morning and afternoon. But today, we're starting with one question. What does civic engagement look like behind bars? To find out, we turn to Chicago resident Brian Beals. Brian was wrongfully imprisoned for 35 years for a crime he didn't commit. He was exonerated last December. But while inside prison in Illinois, Brian actually taught civics education classes for people who would soon be released. So you were in prison for 35 years, as I mentioned. You were exonerated just last December. So over the years, elections, presidents, senators, congressmen and women, they came and went. And you weren't allowed to vote for any of it. Did it ever feel to you like you were missing out?
Yeah, especially in the most like important elections or historic elections, like when Obama was elected. Mm. I really wanted an opportunity to vote and, you know, have my voice heard.
Take me back to that moment, right? You're seeing, you know, what you can see on television, right? All of the press leading up to Obama's election, and you're unable to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, remember watching the scenes from Grant Park when his family walked out and just being really proud in the moment, seeing history take place, even from behind bars, it was a special moment.
What did you hear from other people who are incarcerated with you? I mean, did they want to vote too?
Oh, yes. Politics is a mainstay conversation behind bars. We all engage in civic discourse, and many of us want to talk about, you know, who we support and what we support.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did they think that their vote mattered in the grand scheme of things? I want to hear more about the conversations that were happening inside.
Yeah, I think there's this yearning to vote because around election time, like this time of year, you get so much information and you see all the things on CNN and Fox. And people, you know, we're talking about it because this is the topic of the day. And, yeah, people really want to vote and be a part of the democracy that America represents.
And there's a lot of confusion as well as misinformation when it comes to voting eligibility for people getting out of prison. Clear that up for us, Brian. When and how can you vote if you've had a felony conviction?
So immediately, once you release from the Illinois Department of Corrections, you're immediately eligible to vote. All you have to do is register. And one of them things that we did with civic education was make sure that everybody was informed of their right.
Did you feel like people inside knew what their rights were, or was there a lot of work for you to do?
I know. I mean, honestly, people didn't know. And, you know, it was a lot of ambiguity to people thought that in many different states, you had felony restrictions, and people just assumed you had those same restrictions here in Illinois. So I'm really grateful that the civics program was put together to help clear that up.
Mm. You taught civics classes inside prison. Now, this was to really help them be prepared for when they would be released. The classes were mandated by a state law, which was actually drafted by men incarcerated at Stateville Prison. I want to play a little clip from one of the authors, Mike Simmons, who's now inside Sheridan Prison, which is about 70 miles west of Chicago.
We need people to be thinking civically engaged and civically minded, starting here. That way, when we get outside, this is actually in the interest of justice and public safety. You know, the way we think leads us to where we're going and the decisions we're going to make.
Tell me more about how the civics classes came about.
So you are correct. They were put together by a group of incarcerated people at the think tank at Stateville, and Dr. Rivers and Chicago Lawyers Association and Chicago Votes. They got the law passed, Governor Pritzker signed it, and almost immediately started training guys in different institutions around the state to start teaching the class.
And so what were the main lessons that you were teaching in the classroom?
So we start out, it's broken down into three sections. The first section is a historic overview of voting that teaches you and demonstrates why it's very important. You need to learn about just how difficult it was for people to get the right to vote.
Right.
And that information kind of like feeds the mind. It's like, okay, you know, this is something that's very important, because you go back, you examine pre-colonial times when, you know, you had government reactions to people coming together, trying to get their rights. And we talk about what disenfranchisement means, felony disenfranchisement, all the way into like women's suffrage, Jim Crow. We do this timeline that explains all that, and then really fuels people's interest.
Oh, so you take them back with a history lesson, too.
Yeah, that's the beginning. First, we start with the history, and then we get into, like, modern-day politics a little bit.
What did you want them to come away with, really?
Just understanding just how important this right is, and, you know, just the fight to get the right to vote. You know, many people are surprised that in the beginning of the country, at the end, outset of the Constitution, that only white males could vote who were 21 years of age. And generally, they had to be Christian and landowners. So a lot of people were excluded. So, you know, now that everyone, after all these whites, after all the, you know, challenges to overcome, you know, the restrictions on voting, let's step up. Incarcerated people when we get out and make sure that our voices are heard.
Well, keeping that in mind, I mean, were there any topics that you covered in the civics classes, Brian, that you think particularly galvanized people and got them excited about participating in government?
The number one thing that we talked about that galvanized people was taxes. Everyone's interested in knowing how.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, how their money is being spent, mm-hmm. and how much money is, you know, where it's going. They have this part of the course that talks about itemized, like what the government prioritized with your money. And we would discuss it, like at the top of the list for the federal is defense. And all the way down the list at the, you know, near the bottom is education. And people would be like, wait a minute, I think education should be at least on par with, you know, defense. And, you know, have all these conversations based around those two topics and every other topic in between.
Mm. What other questions did the students ask in the classroom?
Well, I mean, you know, usually the facilitators would just spark interest. We would talk about the difference between what the state would do and what the federal government would do with the money. And then when we got to the part about public safety,
yeah.
you know, and people were like, wait a minute, I'm paying for my own incarceration. Well, people are, you know, I've contributed to it. I should have a voice in what it looks like and how the money
is spent. You saw the wheels turning in their heads like,
oh,
wait a minute.
Definitely. And guys are really surprised, you know, to find out that in Illinois, we actually vote on judges. And when you're incarcerated, judges are a very important subject.
Absolutely, yeah. So let me read part of a message that we got from Kareem at Graham Correctional Center downstate. It says, quote, I would like to bring awareness to how imperative it is to cast our votes. not just on the federal level, but also on the state and local level. So this brings us back to the point you just raised, Brian, because there's a category of local races on the ballot this fall, which is the judges, right? That's a huge piece. And since people inside may have had direct interactions with some of the judges who are up for retention, tell me more about what you talked about in the civics class with them.
Well, we talked about those judges that are actually elected, you know, and then those judges that are appointed by elected judges, and the difference between, like, I think there's a lot of conversation, like, judges who aren't elected seem to sentence harder. And we were, really, that was a big topic of conversation. But also just the whole point of local government, about how important it is, even in off elections, in between midterm elections, how important it is for us to have our voices heard in local communities that we come from. And guys really get, fired up about, I should really take advantage of that when I get out.
Right. And you said that some of them didn't even know that judges were up for election, right?
Right. I mean, it's not something that's generally talked about, when we coming through grammar school, and a lot of guys inside, unfortunately, don't finish high school.
Yeah.
And you get the education, you need to understand that. So, unfortunately, we have the civics education program to re-engage and re-instruct.
So, Brian, if you had the right to vote while you were inside, what do you think would have changed for you, like for your perspective or your experience in prison?
Well, first off, politicians would have really had to pay attention to the conditions on the side, because you think about being downstate in small rural areas where most of the prisons are located, we could have had a big voice in those local elections. And that means people would have had to really come inside and court up our vote. And we'd have had a voice in what happens in terms of reform and the balance suspended between security and reform on the inside. And when people started to realize that, it's like, okay, yeah, this is how democracy is supposed to work.
There's a lot of people listening to us right now who haven't taken these classes yet. What's your message to folks on this issue?
Yeah, right now, the way the program is set up, that you have to be, close to going home, within 6 months of going home, to get the class. But we're pushing and striving with Chicago Votes to make it where everyone can take the class, that it's not like a set aside for best people going home, because politics matter, and a lot of times people on the inside are a source of information for their family, particularly in the communities that we come from, and just being civically engaged and having different level conversations with siblings or children is important.
Yeah, it's funny how you say that. They're inside and they're the source of information for a lot of their families.
Yes.
Yet they're limited as to what they can do.
Limited to what you can do, but also, you're able to read more, you're able to study more, you're able to examine some of the things that the speed of life out here,
right,
takes away from you.
So you talked earlier about just the moment of Barack Obama's presidency and how that sort of caught your attention and inspired you to want to make your own voice heard. Tell us about the last time you voted before you were incarcerated.
It was similarly situated. I voted for Harold Washington. I remember growing up in Inglewood, and he came to 63rd Street Concourse, and the entire 63rd Street was filled with people, young guys like me. We were climbing street poles just to get a chance to see him. And because the mayor of Chicago has such a large impact on work and jobs, you almost felt it immediately, Unfortunately, I was incarcerated wrongfully before I had a chance to vote again. But seeing the impact that Harold Washington had on our community and the city was very exciting at the time.
How did it feel to know that you were part of that?
I felt a little bit, kind of like my collar a little bit. Like, hey, I played a role in that even as a young man.
It was empowering still.
Very empowering. Yeah.
Despite your circumstance.
Yes.
Have you voted yet in the upcoming election, or are you planning to head to the polling place and cast your ballot on November 5th?
Well, I voted earlier when I got out in the primary. So now, I'm planning to go with my sister and vote. She's getting up in age, so I really have a good time going with her and hearing her opinions when we're in the car driving there and talking about who we support, who she supports versus who I support.
Putting together your game plan on the way.
The plan, yeah.
Yeah.
And what her interests are as a homeowner and mine as just someone, freshly released, trying to get to that level.
And it's a long time coming, right? So what do you anticipate that experience is going to be like for you? Right now, we've got a pretty unprecedented election. Right?
Yes.
You've got two candidates
up here that, you know, a lot of talk right now. So what will that be like for you to make your voice heard in this particular election?
Well, it's going to come full circle, going from being an instructor inside for many years and now actually having an opportunity to participate and make my voice heard. But it's probably going to be a little emotional, you know. Hopefully we get the right outcome, the one that I want. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's Brian Beals. He was wrongfully convicted and while in prison, led classes to teach civic engagement to fellow incarcerated people. Thank you so much for making the time for us today.
And thank you, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed, Alex Keefe, and Lauren Frost. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Come back in the morning for more from Reset's special collaboration with WBEZ's Prison Cast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.